Looking back upon it through the haze of near half a century, I see that region as a veritable realm of enchantment, the Alleghenies as the delectable mountains. I note again their dim blue billows, ridge after ridge interminable, beyond purple valleys full of sleep, in which it seemed always afternoon. Miles and miles away, where the lift of earth meets the stoop of sky, I discern an imperfection in the tint, a faint graying of the blue above the main range, the smoke of an enemy's camp. It was in the autumn of that most immemorial year, the 1861st of our Lord, and of our heroic age the first, that a small brigade of raw troops were all raw in those days, had been pushed in across the Ohio border, and after various vicissitudes of fortune and mismanagement found itself, greatly to its own surprise, at Cheat Mountain Pass, holding a road that ran from nowhere to the southeast. Some of us had served through the summer in the 3 months' regiments, which responded to the President's first call for troops. We were regarded by the others with profound respect as old soldiers. Our ages, if equalized, would, I fancy, have given about 20 years to each man. We gave ourselves, this aristocracy of service, no end of military airs, some of us even going to the extreme of keeping our jackets buttoned and our hair combed. We had been in action, too, had shot off a Confederate leg at Philippi, the first battle of the war, and had lost as many as a dozen men at Laurel Hill and Carrick's Ford, whether the enemy had fled in trying, heaven knows why, to get away from us. We now brought to the task of subduing the rebellion a patriotism which never for a moment doubted that a rebel was a fiend accursed of God and the angels, one for whose extirpation by force and arms each youth of us considered himself specially raised up. It was a strange country. 9 in 10 of us had never seen a mountain, nor a hill as high as a church spire, until we had crossed the Ohio River. In power upon the emotions, nothing, I think, is comparable to a first sight of mountains. To a member of a plains tribe, born and reared on the flats of Ohio or Indiana, a mountain region was a perpetual miracle. Space seemed to have taken on a new dimension, areas to have not only length and breadth, but thickness. Modern literature is full of evidence that our great-grandfathers looked upon mountains with aversion and horror. The poets of even the 17th century never tire of damning them in good set terms. If they had had the unhappiness to read the opening lines of The Pleasures of Hope, they would assuredly have thought Master Campbell had gone funny and should be shut up lest he do himself an injury. The Flatlanders who invaded the Cheat Mountain country had been suckled in another creed, and to them Western Virginia, there was as yet no West Virginia, was an enchanted land. How we reveled in its savage beauties! With what pure delight we inhaled its fragrances of spruce and pine! How we stared with something like awe at its clumps of laurel, real laurel as we understood the matter, whose foliage had been once accounted excellent for the heads of illustrious Romans and such, mayhap to reduce the swelling. We carved its roots into finger rings and pipes. We gathered spruce gum and sent it to our sweethearts in letters. We ascended every hill within our picket lines and called it a peak. And by the way, during those halcyon days, the halcyon was there too, chattering above every creek, as he is all over the world, we fought another battle. It has not got into history, but it had a real objective existence. Although by a felicitous afterthought called by us who were defeated, a reconnaissance in force, its short and simple annals are that we marched a long way and lay down before a fortified camp of the enemy at the farther edge of the valley. Our commander had the forethought to see that we lay well out of range of the small arms of the period. A disadvantage of this arrangement was that the enemy was out of reach of us as well, for our rifles were no better than his. Unfortunately, one might almost say unfairly, he had a few pieces of artillery, very well protected, and with those he mauled us to the eminent satisfaction of his mind and heart. So we parted from him in anger, and returned to our own place, leaving our dead, not many. Among them was a chap belonging to my company.